Okay, welcome. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast. It's Saturday, the 5th of March, 2016. This podcast is available from iTunes and also our website, which is krazfiles.com. So plenty of news links going up there and older podcasts to go through. We're over at Facebook as well and Twitter, usually. You can find us under the Kraz Files. You can also still send us an email to thekrazfiles@yahoo.com.au, and thanks for listening. Okay, we are plugged in and ready to go. We do have some interference in the line there somewhere. I think I'm going to blame Dr. Rima. She's being hacked again. It's a hissing noise. It will come out in the recording later, Doctor, so you'll hear it. It's very strange, like a wind.
The strange thing here is, you know, it's high summer where I am, and I have a fan on my desk blowing on me, but it's off now.
It's strange. Sounds like a something like that. Anyway, what can we do? We're constantly having these types of issues here and there. But that's all right. We'll just push through for about 45 or an hour with the show and with our guest, Tanya Hammond. Tanya's coming to us via Skype all the way from Western Australia. Tanya, it's good to have you on this podcast finally. We've been organizing it for weeks now and hooking up with you, so you're finally here to tell us your story. Thank God.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Got you on. Why don't we just blitz into it? And I wanted Dr. Rima here today because this is an incredible case, what happened to your husband, Ben. And I saw it on the news and then jumped in on Facebook and put the information up there. As you know, we're all just trying to log in with you and get the info out there and help you because your husband has a direct vaccine injury case. It really is incredible and it's shocking because... you know, it shows what one single dose vaccine, like a whooping cough vaccine, to do to a grown man. You know, and
a very, very healthy,
a very healthy man. It's a pretty staggering case, and there are, of course, forces unknown and known that are trying to stop this case from getting out and us talking all together. That's what they do. But you know,
trying very hard.
But this is a case. It's going on. It's moving forward. It can't be stopped. And I wanted to get you here today just to go over the case, just basically go over who you are, let us know about yourself. Obviously, you can't go through the whole case in one podcast. We can't do that. But just a general sort of idea of sort of how this all started and what happened what your husband's suffering with. I've got lots of information that you've sent me, and that's why Dr. Rima's sitting in with us, because she's a medical doctor and she knows all about this. She's been doing it for over 40 years, and she knows that every Amazing. Single vaccine dose is dangerous. Not one vaccine is safe. They are all potentially deadly. And so, obviously, people are
in the handbook.
Yeah, yeah. So let us know, and then lead us into sort of where you are now, which I'm pretty clued on with, and then we'll just finish off the show with what Dr. Rima thinks and discuss a little bit more there.
Yep, no worries. Okay, do you want me to start what happened?
Yeah,
from the very start?
Yeah, sort of the start, like what Ben's job is and what happened to your baby there. And, yeah, go just bring us through, you know, sweep over it and then let us know.
Okay, my husband has been in the mines for the last 17 years. He got promoted from a exploration driller to a mine supervisor when I was heavily pregnant with a little boy. 8 days into his first shift as a mine manager, I went into labour. So my mum was at home with my other kids. I was flown to Perth with the Royal Flying Doctors, and my mum drove up from Cowell to Perth and picked up my husband in Southern Cross on the way. He had 2 weeks off work to be with the baby. The bub was born on the 26th of September 2012, 8 weeks early. He was in the NICU unit. On the 28th, so we had already been with James for 2 full days with him in the nursery. On the 28th, our friends arrived to say hello. So we left the ICU unit for Bubby and went up to my room to see our mates, and the nurse approached us with two forms and two needles. We don't know anything about that side of things, so... on the 26th of the 12th, on 26th of September 2012, on the 28th, we had been with him from the 26th to the 28th in the ICU unit with the baby. On the 28th, our friends rocked up in my ward room, so they rang me up and I went upstairs with them. Me, and my husband did. And when the nurse then immediately walked in and she said, can you guys please sign these forms to have this whooping cough vaccination? And I'm like, yeah, no worries. I don't care. Like, if it's going to help the baby, that's cool. And Ben's like, nah, not doing it. And she's like, well, sorry, sir, unless you have the shot, our hospital policy is you're unable to go and see your baby. And my friend Jess Gregory said, just out of curiosity, why is that? And she said, because there's a whooping cough outbreak at the moment, and at the risk of putting all the other babies at risk, we cannot allow parents to go in there unvaccinated. So Ben was like, he even put his wrong birth date on the form because he was so pissed off. So we had the shot. A couple of days after the shot, Ben had a headache and stuff, but he didn't think much of it. He just put it down to, you know, just getting off work, his little boy being born finally. About 7-8 days after that, I got flown back to Kalgoorlie with Royal Flying Doctors because the baby was completely healthy but very underweight still. So they flew me back and they mum, Ben, so Ben, my mum, our older three kids and our dog all drove home in the car, the 6-hour drive that day. When they got home, Ben didn't come into the hospital because he had a headache, and Ben never gets headaches, but he had a headache. So I put it down to, well, anybody would have a headache if they drove home with their mother-in-law, three kids and a dog, 6 hours in a car. Anyone would have a headache from that. So I didn't really twig still then. And then the next morning I was waiting to hear from Ben because I still hadn't heard from him, and I was getting quite annoyed actually. Hadn't heard from him, and at about 9 o'clock mum come in and she said, I don't know how to tell you this, but Ben's in ICU. And I'm like, what? She's like, something's wrong with Ben. She found him at 4 o'clock that morning, violently ill on the kitchen floor, long story short. He first thing to go was his bladder. He was unable to wee. So when mum took him down to the hospital, they got 1.6 litres out of his bladder, which was just intense. Then they sent him home. Well, he insisted to go home anyway. And they said, if he's not good by 2 o'clock this afternoon, bring him back. Something is wrong. So my mum and my sister-in-law come round to my house at about 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Luckily, I had a wheelchair here from when I was having the baby. I'd had to walk around because he was so low, and I'm tiny. I've got a very small a very small frame, and he was I was quite big with him. So luckily, we had a wheelchair here. And they actually, when they went and woke him up at 1 or 2 o'clock to see if he was all right, he said, I can't move my legs. So they got the wheelchair, they put him into the wheelchair, and they got him to the hospital. They then did a lumbar puncture. I still didn't know any of this. I was in the hospital with a baby. I didn't know what was going on. They gave him a lumbar puncture, come running down to the ward where I was, the maternity ward, and said, is there any chance, has Ben had a vaccination recently? And I was like, well, yeah, we did. And that was it. They took off. They started running. And within 10 minutes, he was on the Royal Flying Doctors to Perth. I was like, what's going on? And they said to me, rest assured, it's fine. We're a country hospital. We can't deal with him. He's fine. It's just normal procedure. We're flying him to Perth. Everything's okay. So I took a deep breath and I was like, no worries. About an hour and a half later, I was in my ward in Kalgoorlie Hospital where my mum was holding Bub, and Royal Perth rang the maternity ward in Kalgoorlie. And they spoke to me and they said, you need to get to hospital. You need to get here now. Your husband's not going to live through the night. I passed out at that point. I don't remember what happened. I woke up attached to all these machines and crap, but I unplugged myself and I was like, we're going. Like, so they ended up flying me with my sister-in-law because of my whole passing out problem at that point to Royal Perth. By the time I got to Royal Perth, Ben was holding my hand, and within 20 minutes his hand was gone. It went all the way up to his neck. And was still rising. So they ended up that night, that night flying mum and the baby via Royal Flying Doctors to Swan Districts Hospital in Perth, and then transferring the baby via an ambulance with a nurse, a doctor and my mum to Royal Perth to say goodbye to his dad. And they're the photos you see of Ben with the green laying on the hospital bed.
Yeah.
They're the photos you see of him saying goodbye to his son. That's the only reason they allowed us to take those photos, because that's all his son would ever have. Then his heart stopped and they had to get the baby out and put race him straight to the ICU. They had to put a big tube thing in the vein in his neck to put a wire to his heart, put a wire to his heart to help his heartbeat. It was absolutely traumatic. He was basically a head on a stick laying in a bed. That's all he was. And then they approached me with this form. And the way the lady explained it to me was, if he loses all brain activity because the paralysis is moving up very quickly, do you want us to turn him off if there's no brain activity? And I looked over at him and he sort of half sort of winked and like, yeah, this weird kind of look. And I said, yes. I said, if he loses all brain activity, yes. Until then, ask him. Tell him to blink once or twice and ask him. I'm not going to be responsible for you letting him die if he's got no, you know, if his brain's still there. He's a grown man. While I still had the form in my hand, his heart stopped, right? And they all just stopped, like time froze. You know, in those movies when everything stops and you can jump around and move people's hats and move their tires and all, that's how slow motion it all went, like it was surreal. I then looked around slowly and they all just stopped and looked up at the clock and the machine was going beep, and I just jumped up and chucked the table up and I was like, what are you doing? And I had the form in my hand still because you've signed the form. So I tore up the form and then I went all kinds of psycho. Then they brought in the heart gadouge machine, I don't even know what it's called, fibrillator or whatever it's called, to try and gadouge his heart. That didn't work, so they put a needle straight through his chest into his heart. I think that was adrenaline. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I'm pretty sure, yeah. And his eyes flew open and his heart was extremely erratic, so they had to do the defibrillator thing again to regulate his heartbeat. And then I just went nuts. I had to actually escort me out of there for a bit because I went psycho. Like, you know, the psycho lady in the hospital that you hear when you're there waiting and stuff? That was me there for a bit. It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, he spent a long time in ICU. They had to hoist him out of his bed every day. They'd lay him on a waterbed and they'd wheel him off to a shower and hose him down like an animal. They had to literally use a hoist with a net to get him in and out of bed. He was a complete and total quad, no bowel, no bladder. He went whenever, nothing. He was completely dead from the chest down. It was quite traumatic what happened to him. They all then said to me, this is how ridiculous it gets. He had a hole in his tooth, which he was unaware of, like a cavity in his tooth, mm-hmm. when he was in ICU, and the ICU people had to call down the head dentist at Royal Perth Hospital because they were trying to blame the cavity for what happened to him because it's also caused via an infection apparently. So the dentist came down and ruled it out because it wasn't even infected. So they had no other option than to say it was the vaccination. They had nothing else to blame.
Tell us about that, Tanya, the actual vaccination that he got, and tell us a little bit more about that, because he wasn't allowed to see your child. So tell us about the actual vaccine shot that he got.
Well, that's an interesting thing. The vaccine he had was DTaP.
DTaP?
DTaP, D-T-A-P, yep. Diphtheria, pertussis, and diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis.
One of the worst offenders, yeah.
The thing is, though, that I was going to ask you is on the MedAlerts website, when you type in Ben's batch number, it comes up with seven victims to the same batch number, all neurological, right? But that's spelt the one that Ben had was all lowercase but a capital T. The one that is handed in about Ben has all capitals and it's T-DAP. Is that different or is that the same thing?
I absolutely don't know. I'd say it's the same thing.
Absolutely the same thing.
It's
the same manufacturer,
cool.
And it has the same lot number. It's identical.
Yeah, it's just their way.
Yeah, well, That's what they do. But that one batch went worldwide. I've been trying to find out for the last 12 months because I found this, and the lawyer I had at the time said it was just useless and stopped playing doctors and lawyers and citizens' conspiracy theories. So I finally found someone who can tell me how much is per batch, because what we were told is what happened to Ben is 1 in 8 million, right? Well, there's 478,000 per batch, and there were 7 neurological victims. Is that 1 in 8 million?
Not exactly.
The government work on statistics.
Yeah.
There's a statistic for you, and I've got all the proofs to prove it. If you look up MedAlerts, go into new search, and in lot number, put his batch number in, which I'll tell you, you'll see all the other victims, the ages from the age of 3 to 36. 7 of them. Neurological victims. But anyway, back to what I was saying. The DTaP we had no idea about. We just thought it was the whooping cough. We knew nothing about vaccine. We didn't even know what an adverse effect was. Like, honestly, we did not know anything about them. They said it was to protect our baby and the other babies. So, I mean, who wouldn't if that's what you're told? You know, he only had 2 weeks off work, so it's not like he could... not have the shot and then go and see his child in a week or so because he had to go back to work.
Cool. What's the time frame of when he had the jab and his first reactions?
About first reactions?
When he started to feel ill.
Yeah. Late the next day, early the day after.
So pretty much 24 hours, within 24 yes. hours after getting that vaccine. Yeah.
The photos you see of Ben sitting in the nursery holding the little tiny baby, Ben was sleeping most of the time when he was in there with the baby because he was so tired. So he was in there with all the babies when he was feeling sick, not even realising that. He just thought he was run down. I saw it because we had no idea about the vaccinations and whatever, and what's the scary part about it is that we actually had a live thing in our body in with all these premature babies. And then my heart sunk. I was like, what if we had done harm to the other babies? Like, it's just, there's so many things. It was about, between 24 and 48 hours that he started to feel unwell. Mm-hmm. And it just got worse and worse over the time. And then he, on the 11th of October, my mum found him on the kitchen floor. The 12th of October, early, 4 o'clock in the morning, he was taken off. He was gone to Perth because they come running down to me, asking me about the vaccination and then took off.
So what he suffered, they call ADEM.
Yep. It's acute. I might say that wrong, but acute. I can't. It's acute. Yeah.
Disseminated. Encephalomyelitis. Is that right, Dr. Rima?
Dr. Rima?
Yes, it's almost right. It's close enough. Encephalomyelitis.
What that encephalomyelitis, is, yeah.
Yes.
ADEM.
In the brain, the myelin, which is the insulation between one nerve and another, you wouldn't want electrical wires lying right next to another because you'd have shorts. Well, the brain has electrical wires, which are called neurons, and you have to separate them. So the brain has myelin, which insulates one neuron from another so that you don't get short circuits. If the myelin becomes inflamed, the brain becomes inflamed, or the body attacks its own myelin, then you get horrendous and unpredictable neurological consequences, and Ben, unfortunately, tragically, is a victim of the kind of autoimmune inflammatory process that so many, many people have. Unfortunately, his is a massive response. Autistic people, people with Guillain-Barré syndrome, people with MS following vaccinations, personality changes, headaches, et cetera, autoimmune and inflammatory response like the one that Ben has had from vaccines is horrifyingly common, which makes sense because you're putting poisons into the body, which open up the blood-brain barrier, like aluminum, and then you're putting foreign protein, stealth viruses, and toxins into the brain with its protective barrier destroyed. Surprise!
I'm so wish I had known that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But when I heard you bring that out, I looked. That's why I wanted Dr. Reimer on, obviously, tell you, but it's a severe reaction the poor guy had.
And what Dr. Reimer just said was absolutely spot on. What we were told was it's his myelin sheath. There's holes in it from the reason he was a quad to start with, is what I was informed of, is that it was extremely inflamed. And I've actually got a photo, Dr. Reimer, of his MRI that I might send to you.
Yes, I'd love to see it.
It's very, very bad. It's right up his spinal cord and like a web through his brain. And what's happened is the reason he's able to move now is because the swelling has gone down. But he cannot feel from the chest down. Nothing works. No bladder, bowel. He can't sweat, so he can't regulate his body temperature. Liver and kidneys misfire. For example, he was laying in his hammock a few months ago and there was something sparkling in his foot and I was like, what's that? And when he had a tack stuck in his foot to the point where the skin was growing over it, he had no idea.
Yeah.
Right. I would like to suggest, and this has to be a generic suggestion because we don't have a doctor-patient relationship, but in a general term, I can say that CBD, cannabidiol, would be very helpful to a person, I can't talk about them because I don't have a doctor-patient relationship, but a person with the same kind of situation would find that the CBD, which is a molecule that the body makes on its own, but additional CBD would very likely bring the swelling down system-wide with no toxins, with no side effects. So if I were working with a patient like Ben, I would definitely want him to have CBD. And after the show, Adam can perhaps put us together and I can tell you about how the CBD should be delivered and what might be useful.
So that's very, very rare. I've heard about this for a while and I have tried to get my hands on it. The one he needs is the one with something called THC or THP or whatever in it for his pain.
No. The one he needs is the one without THC. I've written a paper examining the myth that THC is where the curative power is. And I'll be happy to send it to you. Adam, I can send it to you and you can post it on your website if you like. People believe that THC is what is needed. In fact, it is CBD, the one that's manufactured by the body itself. The THC will get you high. It's recreational. And there are some purposes for it. But mainly, and certainly
that's for
in this
nerve
case,
pain, isn't it?
What?
That's for nerve pain, though, isn't it? The THC. I'm just relaying what I've heard. But is the THC good for nerve pain? That's what I was told.
Not particularly.
I don't even know what THC is.
Again, THC is tetrahydrocannabinol. It's the part of the marijuana plant or the cannabis plant that gets you high.
Yeah.
And there are people who use medical purposes, and that's fine. But in fact, in this case, the anti-inflammatory properties are absolutely essential for him, and I would want him to have THC. Our foundation actually manufactures THC. CBD, not THC, and it's available on our website because it is such a powerful healing tool. So he needs CBD. I would not use THC. Some would disagree with me, but that's my clinical experience.
Would to worry because his largest thing at the moment is the swelling, and that's all gone down, but he's got huge holes in his myelin sheath. So the thing at the moment is the nerve pain that he gets. He says it's like when your arm goes dead and it starts to come back, the pins and needles, but lightning bolts. Right. And he can't locate where the pain is. And
I very strongly would urge that you get some CBD for him.
Without THC?
I would not use the THC.
Okay, that's cool. I don't know anything about it. That's why I'm asking. That's fantastic. All right.
Can you get that? Yeah. Can you where you are?
No, it's just nothing like that's legal here. It's just Western Australia. We're a whole different...
Australia has just passed, I understand, laws that make that... that eliminate that problem, except for one thing, and that is CBD is manufactured by the body, so it is not possible for it to be illegal. THC is not manufactured by the body, but CBD is in fact a molecule that the body manufactures and uses on its own, which is why it's non-toxic.
All right, well, that's all right. Awesome that you actually told me that, because I've been trying for a long time to get it for what you just said, and I was informed that the THP, whatever part of it is for the pain. So I was told he needs both. I didn't know what any of the words meant. I like to ask professionals about it. All I was told is what you just said, is that THC makes them high, but the Oxycontin makes him higher, and he hates it.
Yeah. Well, Oxycontin is addictive and toxic. THC is not addictive, but it is toxic. That's why you get high. That's the response to the toxicity. CBD, on the other hand, doesn't make you high. I say all hemp, all help, no high in the CBD. But it is extraordinarily, extraordinarily good for pain, for inflammation, for any number of things.
Hmm. How much would you be looking at for Ben, Dr. Rima, per day, dosage-wise? How much a day, dosage-wise?
How much does Ben weigh?
How much is about 85 kilos.
85 kilos, okay. I would say, Adam, may I give information about the product that we have?
It's a pure organic product as well. It's not going to be the synthetic forms or genetically modified forms. I know Monsanto's done that. So, greed. Yeah, this is the pure stuff that you have, Dr. Rima.
Upward CBD, 1,500 milligrams, one-ounce bottle, which is about 30 cc's, contains 1,500 milligrams. And I would start with one dropper full. It's a light, pleasant-tasting oil. I'd give him one dropper full, and then I would see what the level of his pain was. It's entirely possible that 50 milligrams, which is quite a serving, quite a big serving. Remember, this stuff is totally non-toxic. It's possible that the 50 milligrams might be wonderful for him. Or, because there is so much inflammation, he might need more. So you might give him 1.5 droppers the next time, or 2. You cannot harm him because it is completely non-toxic. But I would think in the range between 50 and 100 milligrams would be, or that's 1 to 2 droppers full, would be very, very useful for him. But you titrate it. When you find a serving that is the right amount, you go down a little and see if he needs that much. If he doesn't, then you stay, you go down. If he needs more, you go up. It's so wonderful because it's completely non-toxic.
And there's no side effects. That's the part I like most about it.
Yeah, that's cannabis oil.
Because when before the raid happened, he had his own plant out the back, and rather than taking the oxys, he smoked his plant. He just had his own little plant at the back. No harm, no foul. which we were informed by three or four top neurologists and immunologists that the best thing for him, because if his kidney and liver that aren't working right, is to use cannabis for the pain. So that's what he had been doing, and it was working. He wasn't taking his oxys at all.
Yeah, no, to smoke it really helps people who are getting who are on chemotherapy as well, and it helps them to eat and feel better and numb that pain more, just smoking it.
The cops took his plant but left all of his oxys in the safe. I don't understand that.
So is that something you wanted to go over a little bit as well, the raid on your house?
Tell
us about that a little bit.
Okay, on the 19th...
In the free country that is Australia, because we're a democracy, right? Western Australia is not a police state. No, it's not. Australia is a free country, isn't it, Kenya?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it is. I know it must be because it says so.
Oh, it's a free country, Dr. Emma. Yep, it's just zinc cream and iskies and thongs here. Everything else is right. Scratch below the surface and it's rotten.
And an engineer at iskies have an engine. That's how hard we go. Free country.
Unbelievable. Yes. Tell us about this raid on your
On the 19th of November, 19th of January this year, we were woken up by a door being smashed down. Seven police officers, fully armed in squad gear, dragged my husband and myself out of bed, screaming, "Get down, get down." At the stage where they got me, dragged me, we were both sound asleep, they dragged me out of bed, and we were in bed with our three-year-old. They dragged Ben out, and then they dragged me out, and they were saying to Ben, "Get down, get down," and Ben was trying to get to the bench to help himself get down, because he's disabled, right? And I kept saying to him, "He's disabled, he's disabled." So they, because he wasn't getting down quick enough, they violently kicked him in the back of the knee and threw his head to the floor. Right, Ben can't feel his knee, but I felt his knee hit the deck. And I've got a photo 2 days after the raid, because that's when we found out where the pain was, because it just started to bruise, of his knee, and it's black. Threw his head to the floor. They then threw me to the floor very, very violently, had guns to our heads. They then went into my boy's room, my 11-year-old boy's room. He asked to go to the toilet. Or he woke up to the whole thing, and he asked to go to the loo. So the stupid cop actually had his gun out and escorted my 11-year-old out to see me and Ben on the floor at gunpoint, and then walked him back to his room by gunpoint and looked at me. And I was like, at this stage, they wouldn't tell us why they were there. They wouldn't, until their camera showed up, they would not tell us. So I didn't even know what was going on. And I thought they were actually going to hurt my child. So I was trying to fight them. And whenever I kept on trying to lift my head up, just because... to see my three-year-old on the bed behind me, they kept on slamming my face into the ground, like really, really violently. I had one on my back, a gun held to my head, tasers pointed at us. It was just horrific. My son is just traumatized. My 16-year-old's window is near the front door, so he actually heard the first bang when they tried to get the door open. They ended up smashing it three times and opening it. My oldest son got up, locked his bedroom door and got dressed and just sat there shaking, listening to me screaming and cops ransack the house. My 11-year-old was just as hysterical. My 3-year-old was screaming, and they wouldn't even let my 11-year-old into my 3-year-old. By the time that all, they had already gone through and trashed everything, by the time 16 minutes later, whatever it was, when the cop went outside to the car and got the camera and brought it in, they had us sitting on the couch. They even gave Ben a shirt to put on. Sitting on the couch with my little boy on our lap, like nothing was wrong. We have a search warrant, and he handed us a search warrant, which is all blacked out. Handed us a search warrant and said, you have been, we are raiding your house on the suspicion of manufacturing and selling of crystal meth. And I just looked at him, and Ben just started laughing. Laughing like, are we being punked? Are you serious? Like, and I was like, what are you laughing for? I got so angry that he laughed, like so angry. But he's got brain damage, remember? He doesn't think like. But I just started going off, and I said, that's it. I'm taking my kids out of here, and they're going to a friend's house. So they raided the boys' rooms while I was there because I had to remain there for that. I said, right, I'm leaving. And they said, right, if you leave, we'll arrest you. And I said, no worries. When I get back, arrest me. Done.
Better you stay anyway, said, okay, keep an eye on them because they can plant things.
We have to. No, well, my husband was still there.
Yeah,
I was just getting my kids out of the house. Yeah. I couldn't. I had to get my kids out. They were my number one priority. So I said that they had to raid the car first. I said, well, that's fine. While I put the kids in the car, you raid the car. If you're still in the car when I leave, you're coming for a drive. Right, I'm leaving. I'll be back in 5 minutes. So I left, took the kids to my mate's house, had a full-on breakdown there. I picked myself up and drove straight back home. I was home within 5 minutes. And by this stage, they had gone out the back. And when I walked out the back, the whole house was trash. When I walked out the back, I saw the female cop. We've got a little Jack Russell with MS, right? So he's gorgeous dog, but he's got really, really bad MS. He's beautiful. And when I walked out the back, Ben was standing there with this really nasty cop, and the lady cop actually was taking a selfie with her iPhone in a pink case with sparkly love hearts on the back, taking selfies with my dog. She put her gun back in her holster and took selfies with my dog. That blew my mind. Then they looked down the side gate and they found a weed plant. It looked like two in the same pot, but it was on the same root. But it looked like in one pot, two small weed plants. And then that was it. They got all excited then because they had made a bust. And it's like, no, mate. They had to go back to the cop shop to get a Hessian bag for the plant because they only had stuff in their cars for meth. Right, now, I begged them to drug test us, begged them, and they refused to do it. I said, if you go back on Ben's 17 years on the mines, he got drug tested at least once or twice a week because of the job that he did. They all get drug tested. I said, Ben didn't even smoke weed, I've never touched any drug. I said, I think our hair follicle test can go back years. I said, do tests on us. Leave our house alone. And then they asked me, when they were in our room, why have you got so many boxes of Oxys? Because we have like 5 boxes of Oxys in the safe. And I said, I couldn't answer him. I said, no comment, because I couldn't say he doesn't take them because he smokes weed. And then when they found the plant at the back, I said, mate, your question inside, that's why he doesn't take his Oxys, because he has a natural product. But I couldn't tell that to you inside because I didn't know whether you were going to find it or not. I didn't want to, make Ben look bad, even though it's just weed. But I'd rather be known as Ben having weed than Ben being a meth dealer. And little bit known, about 20 minutes, half an hour after the raid, we had a phone call. It was somebody from the media, GWN, and they stated, they even got hold of our local paper, and they stated, this is going to be aired tonight. The Hammond family have been raided for manufacturing and selling of crystal meth. Items have been seized and charges have been laid. Now, if you heard that, what would you think? Yeah, so they then asked us to do an interview, and we were still in our underwear. This is how close it was to the raid. I had just got off the phone to Alana McTeen and I was absolutely hysterical. And then we had reporters rock up at the door, the newspaper. She did an article, and then Channel 7 rocked up and got our side of the story. I said it was going to air that night. So I went into my knee-jerk reaction was to get my side out there. So I got hold of Tasha David, Wendy Lyle, or them, and told them what had happened. And I said, it's being aired tonight. And without even knowing me, all my history, all my criminal records or my anything, they went out on a limb. You as well, Adam, went out on a limb and wrote this thing, complete all these facts that had happened. And it blew my mind because yous didn't know if we had a criminal record. Yous didn't know if we were those kind of people, and it was just. But luckily that got out before the news aired, but the news didn't even air. It didn't air. So if they hadn't have threatened us with the media, this wouldn't have come out, because it's humiliating. Being raided for some horrendous drug is humiliating. But because they threatened us with the media, we had to try and protect. Because of our GoFundMe account, I wanted everyone who stuck money into that to know that whatever they see on the news is false. We are not drug dealers. We're nothing to do with that kind. And I didn't even know meth was ice. I didn't. That's how much of a hardcore druggie I am. I've never touched it before in my life, not even recreationally as a teenager, never. They didn't find anything meth-related, obviously. They confiscated my daughter's little laser pointer that she got. It's a little laser pointer with like a head for it for a cat and a dog and a flower, you know, the ones that you put on the wall and you get like a little cat. Well, they confiscated that. They're illegal to have. They confiscated his plant. They found, and I quote, I send less than 1 gram of green leaf material and a leaf bush at the back and a bong and a grinder. That's what they found, and that's what they class as they items have been seized and charges have been laid. But they didn't happen to mention that it was nothing to do with crystal meth that was found. Like, and they pulled everything apart. They pulled our beds apart, looked under the mattresses. They ripped everything to try and find what they were looking for.
So no crystal meth manufacturing facilities were found on the property, so you can sue, right?
No, because they still found illegal paraphernalia.
Just to let Dr. Rima know how brutal Western Australia is, and Australia in general, Western Australia has probably the most extreme laws in regards to cannabis, Dr. Rima. They're draconian laws. Tanya's not kidding. Over there, you can get nailed just for one simple plant. So parents could be jailed for 12 months in Western Australia and having their kids taken from them for one marijuana plant under the toughest laws, drug laws, I think, in the country. They may have been relieved a little bit, but that still stands, I would say.
Well, they're still charging him.
Yep.
They've charged him.
One plant would have done it, as you said. One plant would have got what they wanted, yeah.
This is for a plant. A plant.
It's a plant that helps someone relieve their pain. This is what we get in this country.
You know what Ben said? When they found it and pulled it out, I was standing at the back with him at this point, and he was like, and I'm like, what's the matter? He goes, that would have been good by Mother's Day. And I'm like, shut up, Ben, shut up. And then we come into the kitchen at the end, and the idiot videoed the stuff on the bench or the evidence on the bench, and then looked up at Ben and he said, is there anything you'd like to add, Mr. Hammond? He's like, yeah, can I have it all back? I'll at least have one cone before you go. I'm like, for God's sake, Ben, stop it. Lay down and let it go. But he's like, it's just weed. He's like, mate, take the oxys. Take the oxys. And they informed us, because I think they
take another vaccine.
But they informed us that one oxy is worth $120 on the street. I was like, why would you tell me that? You know, I've got like 5 or 6 boxes in the safe. Why would you tell me that? And now, when I was in Sydney recently and my mum was here, my mum and Ben went to pick up the kids from school and come past home, and there was 2 undercover cop cars up front. They're still trying to pin us on something, and I reckon they told us how much oxys were worth to try and pin us for something. We've never sold a damn thing, man. Like, we are the cleanest, nerdiest people you could ever come across.
So this is obviously about the vaccine injury case that they want to silence you.
There is no other reason that
they don't want you to talk. So that's a scary thing indeed in this country. That means that you were set up, and that means that the police, who are supposed to be protecting and serving citizens in this country, are acting like thugs and coming in and harassing a family at 6 o'clock in the morning with young children there, and then getting a marijuana plant.
So they told us that they've been watching us for 7 months, right? When they first broke in,
they don't want you
and they forced my husband to the door, he asked, is there a fire? Do I have to get my kids out of here? And the cop said, is there kids here? How can you be watching my house for 7 months and not know we have kids? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Why are the police protecting drug companies? And a vaccine injury case.
When they first broke into the house, I honestly thought they were taking my kids off me, because of the way they took my 3-year-old out of my arms when I was asleep and the way they escorted my 11-year-old out, I honestly thought they were there to take my kids off me. And I didn't know why. I thought it was maybe because Ben's disabled and I've got severe anxiety. Maybe that – I didn't even think the vaccine. I didn't think – until the raid, I didn't really know the nastiness of the nation.
Yeah, since 9/11 and George Bush's Patriot Act, when John Howard was in government here, there's been dozens and dozens of anti-terrorism laws brought in behind the backs of the Australian people, and most people have no idea they're in the dark, and these laws allow them to do that now. So what's going to happen now soon is that parents who don't vaccinate their children are going to get exactly what you got. 5 o'clock in the morning, their doors kicked down and their children taken. That's what's coming in this country. So I hope people think that this is going to be worth it. I really do, because that's what's coming.
I really want to add something here, Adam, and that is, excuse me, that what you've just said is absolutely true. There is a worldwide push to institute absolutely no exemption vaccination policies everywhere. Why? Well, there are about 510 vaccines ready to be required, mandated. Very few people are going to survive the onslaught of 500 vaccines, adults or children, by the way, and we will soon see adults relapsing into what they're going to start calling adult onset autism. There is a way around this. There is a way that Ben could have used, had he known about it, that you, whoever you are, can use for yourself, because the mandates will be for you as adults, not just for your children, and a way to protect your children. And that is called the Health Directive, Advanced Health Directive. And the Advanced Health Directive means that as a person living in a country which has ratified the Geneva Convention, you have a nationally and internationally protected right to say no to any medical procedure that includes, of course, vaccines. And if you assert that right properly, and that's the key, if you assert that right properly, you can show your advanced vaccine directive, which is a wallet card, and then you can say no. And you are, in fact, legally permitted to do just that, and the state has to back off and leave you without being molested or infected with, or injected with poisons and pus and the risk of God only knows what. So if you will please go to my website, drrima truthreports.com, drrimatruthreports.com, and look there for the Advanced Vaccine Directive, or AVD, as we call it for short. You can find the mechanism by which you and every member of your family can, in fact, say no legally. Ben, I'm sorry to tell you, Tanya, Ben could have said no, whipped out his wallet card showing that he had asserted that right correctly, and they would not have been able to do anything.
I was about to ask you that, Dr. Rima, about that. Ben's particular case, otherwise saying that he has to get the DTaP vaccine in order to be able to be with his child. But that's not so, is it?
This is insane. And by the way, the DTaP or TDAP vaccines are being foisted upon pregnant women as being protective of their children. It is a lie. The flu vaccine is being foisted upon pregnant women as being protective for their children. It is a lie.
Both failed.
No pregnant woman. I'm sorry?
Both failed vaccines?
Yes.
Actually, even the CDC will tell you they've failed?
Absolutely. All vaccines are failed vaccines. Yes. Failure. So this is so important. I'm going to give this again. It's drrima truthreports.com. And what you're looking for is the Advanced Vaccine Directive. Every member of the family needs one. The baby needs one in his diaper bag. The school kid needs one in his backpack. you need one in your wallet or purse. Your spouse also needs one in his or her wallet or purse, because it's a personal exemption and it is legally protected. Also, the Constitution of Australia says that you have the exact same right to informed consent. And you do. What's happening is that unlawful laws are being passed. Well, they can be challenged, and the best way to challenge the vaccine mandates is to assert your legally protected right to say, no, I'd rather not have pus and poison in my body. Thanks ever so.
That's a sad thing.
Dr. Raymer, is there any link between any of this and the gene pool or the genetic makeup? I'm only asking because my uncle, my best friend, come down with a mysterious illness when he was 12, like 40-odd years ago. He was in a wheelchair his whole life. He died in 2011. When I found out I was having a baby in 2012, we named him after Ronald. So Ronald's Ronald James and James is James Ronald. Then my husband got sick, and my mum's the one who found my uncle and my husband. Well, they did some research. My pop did back way when, and the mysterious illness happened 9 days after his high school vaccinations. So what I'm saying is, with knowing that, it's on my side and my husband's side.
You're susceptible.
Would our child be susceptible?
Yes.
Is there... Oh, you know how many people are like this?
The likelihood is high that the answer is yes. And the likelihood... I can't say this for sure, Tanya, but the likelihood is high that the issue is a mitochondrial dysfunction. The mitochondria are tiny little organs. If they're called organelles because they're tiny, inside your cells, and they are the furnaces that produce the energy that runs your cells and carries out all your processes. They're like little engines just chugging away and burning fuel called ATP, adenosine triphosphate, all the time. Now, if your mitochondria are in good shape and they're chugging along, that's great. But let's say you have a vulnerability in the mitochondria and one enzyme system is weak or missing, or there's something else going on with your mitochondria. When you've put poisons into your body, those poisons poison enzyme systems. And by the way, that's how every drug works, by poisoning an enzyme system or more than one. When that happens, if the mitochondria cannot carry out their functions properly, then basically, biologically speaking, all hell breaks loose. When you inject a slug of foreign protein and toxins and maybe stealth viruses as well, the area that is most likely to show the problem, the deficit, the damage, is going to be the mitochondria, the energy system. So just on the basis of the family history that you shared, I would draw these conclusions. It's likely but not confirmed that both your uncle and your husband...
My uncle and my husband, not the same.
Different my uncle. Gene pool. How
different
very
genes. My son. Okay.
It's my likely son that both of them had either a contaminated lot or a mitochondrial dysfunction response. And your son now has two progenitors who both had severe vaccine reactions with neurological consequences. The wisdom of giving your child a vaccine is non-existent. Your child should never even come close to thinking about having a vaccine for anything. If ever there was a reason for a medical exemption, that would be one. But then again, I'm a bit biased because I think anybody who has mitochondria, is everybody, has a mitochondrial vulnerability and should never have a vaccine. So I'm a little bit biased. But a geneticist would be likely to say this child should never be vaccinated. Well, maybe not one in Australia, but a geneticist who was not politically motivated would make that state.
In a free country.
Knowing all of that, it really annoys me because we have been to that many people to get an exemption for James, and because, and I quote, he has not personally been adversely affected, he does not get an exemption. And if he was adversely affected, he'd only get a 12-month exemption. Now, this is both his genes.
This is a perfect example of why you need an advanced vaccine directive card in your wallet, and the baby needs one that has his name on it. Obviously, we sign for our children. They can't sign for themselves. Although, in Idaho, there is a bill before the legislature in the United States which would make it legal for a pharmacist to vaccinate children as young as six without notifying the parents. No parents need apply. So the state wants to take control of your children. The state wants to take control of you. And the lance, the spear in the Achilles heel of this vaccine thrust is none other than the Advanced Vaccine Directive card, which is an assertion of your legally protected, and I say that again, legally protected right to turn down any and all vaccines at your discretion.
When you said that we don't have a choice, you're absolutely correct, because I signed the high school vaccination form, no, right? It was no, big tick in the no box, and I wrote my own little spiel on it. And they still tried to force my daughter to have the vaccinations. Now, my daughter is very outspoken, but she never swears, right? At school, she's very, and she argued with her. She goes, no, Sarah, get up there now. It is your turn. And she goes, no, miss, I'm not doing it. And she goes, Sarah. And she goes, fuck you, miss. And she walked out of the classroom. My daughter doesn't swear. She doesn't.
I like your daughter.
She walked out, and she put a finger up as she walked out. It's like, nah. She didn't do it.
They're trying to do that, Tanya, and the schools vaccinate without the parents' consent. And what Dr. Rima's saying here, if your daughter had a card on her, and they did, then they are in deep trouble. Very, very deep trouble. You can sue them.
But I signed the form.
They'll still try and do it.
They did. They didn't do it, but they tried.
Yeah, that's how they're getting. They're like ghouls.
If my daughter wasn't as... some people call it strong-willed. I call it stubborn.
It's great. Right. She's
if my
got
daughter
that.
Wasn't as stubborn as what she is, which is, I agree with you. I'm totally, it's fantastic. But not all kids have that.
Has she been vaccinated?
So, as a kid, she was, yes. So I didn't know any better.
Just a few, or you stopped, or she got the whole rounds?
Oh, I stopped. No. Once all this, she had it up till she was, I think all my older kids had up to the 12-month ones. So I was young. My oldest is 16. So I was very young back then.
You're not in the anti-vaccination movement. You're not part of any of that. You're just a mum, a working mum, who has, seen what one of these damn things can do to your husband.
I've never been I didn't even know pros and antis existed until all this stuff happened. I had no idea. They tell young mums and everyone that you're a bad mum if you don't do it. And even afterwards, my husband... About 12 months after this happened, they kept on ringing me. The immunisation kept ringing me and handing me. My husband ended up going down there and writing him a letter and just tearing him one because, leave her alone. You're making her feel like a really disgusting mother. You're making her feel like a bad mum for putting my health before our sons. She's not putting my health before our sons. It's in both of his gene pool, and they said it's got nothing to do with the genes, and he goes, prove that to me and we'll talk, and we haven't heard from him since.
It's got nothing to do with the genes?
Nope, that's what they said. Yep.
Don't be a conspiracy theorist now, Dr. Rima. Come on, settle down.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. But
because there's no evidence to prove it. There's no research into it to prove it.
But that's the way it is. It is. In this country, what about the Victorian Health Minister, Jill Hennessy, Tanya?
Oh, my God.
Jill Hennessy, the Health Minister, the goddamn Health Minister in Victoria. I've got the quote here. She says, I quote, there are no risks in vaccinating your children.
Well, right.
The science is clear.
Stop. She's right. There are no risks. It is absolutely settled that there will be damage. The damage may be major, or the damage may be hard to see. But every vaccine, there are no risks. It's a certainty. You know, a risk means maybe yes, maybe no, but it's not a risk. Andrew Molden, a physician who was probably murdered, showed that every single vaccine causes neurological damage in the form of microstrokes or worse, in addition to all the other things it does. Where's the risk in that? There are no risks. It's a certainty.
Well, he's dead now, Dr. Rima.
He is dead.
Another one who got murdered. Yeah.
Yes, that was some time back. But the point I'm making is, technically speaking, if a risk is evaluated as a chance of harm, she's right. It's a certainty of harm.
Thanks, Jill.
I would like to...
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'd like... what was I just going to say? I'd like to the word rare is really amusing to me. And the word that they say, the rareness of it.
The rare is
1 in 8 million.
I love that.
Well, when I send you what I'm going to send you about what I found on his batch number, that's actually incorrect. And I've heard this so many times, vaccines do more good than harm. There are, however, will possibly sometimes be some casualties to it. Basically, take one for the team. It's for the greater good. The next person who says that to me is going to be in a lot of shit, because how about you take one for the team?
Yeah, exactly. What doesn't Jill Hennessy take one for the team?
I'll walk up to one of them and put a knife in their spine, not out of violence, just out of, now you live with it. You live with it. You have no spine, you have no legs, you can't protect your family, and you take one for the team. Like, that makes me really angry. Why should we take one for the freaking team when the team won't even help us?
They're detached from reality, and their agenda is to push vaccines because this country's totally controlled and dominated by drug corporations. And the Murdoch media use so-called columnists, that's what they call themselves, they're just shills to push drugs. So the Murdoch media columnists are drug pushers because Rupert Murdoch is deeply invested in drug corporations. So the media in this country are represented by drug corporations. So they push drugs and vaccines onto our children, and the gullible public buy into it over and over again. They keep tumbling down.
And very soon they will push them onto you as adults. This is coming.
Everybody, it's coming. Yep, you want to get a license, Tanya? You've got to be vaccinated. You want to travel out or into the country? You're going to have to be vaccinated.
Yeah, I heard of that on the weekend.
School, universities, everything, job, everything you want to do. That's what we're talking about before. They're not going to make it mandatory, but they're going to make your life impossible to live. So you just can't avoid them.
In having that card, does that go around that?
Yes, it does. You whip out your card and you say, I am asserting in a legally protected fashion my right to informed consent. And then, if they persist, they have committed personally, not institutionally alone, but they have committed malpractice and assault and battery. They have committed civil crimes, taking away your constitutional rights, and so forth. So, you know, when the Natural Solutions Foundation, of which I'm the medical director, figured this out, and we appear to be the first people who kind of got it, and we immediately started making these cards available in English and in Spanish, when we first did it, all hell broke loose. There was no end to the hacking and attacking and the internet tripe that was slung at us. But we're used to that because we do this sort of thing a lot. And it was vicious in the extreme, which we took to mean that we were right over the target, because that's the only place where you get the flak. And so there's a good deal of flak flying, because we're right. they have nowhere around it. I'm absolutely convinced that they were kind of hoping that nobody would notice that informed consent is not just about the victims of the Nazi doctors, that it's about everybody. Look at your constitution. Look at the Geneva Congress Convention. You see, people forget that an international treaty means that the countries that sign it are irretrievably bound by the law of that treaty. They can't say, well, you know, we changed our mind. They are irretrievably bound, and the Geneva Convention says very clearly that every person has the right to make informed consent about what happens to their body without punishment, without prejudice, without pressure, without fraud, without negative consequences. And so the no jab, no pay, $16,000 gone law is not only unconstitutional in Australia, but it also violates international law. And, oh, by the way, that is a crime against humanity.
It is. And that's the thing, Tanya, we need people to know their rights and assert them and carry these cards, because they're spooking people into thinking that you need to get vaccinated and your children do. And, you know, they're playing this kind of game. They're making people in the anti-vaccination movement look like they're dirty and disgusting people, you know. And
baby killers.
Yeah, baby killers. They're using the word terrorist now. And now they're saying that we are child abusers. That's out of the Rupert Murdoch newspapers and their troll columnists, because they represent the drug companies and they push drugs. They're drug pushers. But they're calling us child abusers now. And because we don't want our children to suffer what happened to your husband. I mean, if that happened to your husband, a grown man, imagine what one of these vaccines could do to a poor child. I mean, this is really, really dangerous stuff. But, you know, as I really found out last night, trying to get a debate happening on the Dr. Rima show, Truth Report show, is impossible. I can't do it. But the entire pro-vaccination movement are trolls. That's all they are. And I've found out that now. The media are trolls. They're all trolls. They're not going to debate us, Dr. Emma. I've given up.
And I was
they're delusional.
So
yeah. And
you sent me a Skype and you said, I have a debate for you. Somebody I can intellectually dismember. Sounds like a fun job. And then I learned that the troll did not want a live debate. The reason they don't want a live debate is because the idea that the science is settled, vaccines work, the sky is blue, as Hillary Clinton famously tweeted, that idea is completely false. First of all, science is never settled. If it's settled, it's religion. Science is continually expanding. Second of all, the half-life of medical science, that is the time between its promulgation and the time when 50% of it is declared to be untrue, that's about 20 years. So 50% of what you believe absolutely to be true in medical science today will be on the graveyard, the slag heap of medical stupidity in 20 years. Well, science does not support vaccination. Propaganda supports vaccination.
Exactly. And loads of it. Just bucket loads of the stuff. Propaganda, that's what they do. And fear. And fear.
Oh, yes. And you know, I had a young man who worked for me when we had an eco demonstration project in Panama. And he had a baby, and I said, as I say to everyone with a baby, don't vaccinate the baby. Hello, don't vaccinate the baby. And he said, well, yes, but my mother-in-law said, what if something happens and you haven't vaccinated the baby? To which my response is the very obvious, what if something happens to the baby and you have vaccinated it?
It's credible. That's worse.
Credible stuff, Tanya. Anyway, Dr. Emmy, you were, supposed to debate Paul Davis. and he says here, go for it, Adam. Let's set the debate up now. I'm ready to go. Are you scared? I'm willing. Let's start it.
Are you scared?
And then he wanted me to go to Things Anti-Vaxxers Say, which is a ridiculous page with these people on it, basically taking things that people say in the anti-vaccination movement and posting it on websites. That's what they do. It's like a strange attempt at trying to name and shame people. I don't really understand it. But
then he called you a coward and a thief.
Yeah, he's still going now today calling me a coward and you a coward, Dr. Emer, and that I ran away. And then he just tried to drain my... I don't have time to sit on Facebook all day like these people. I mean, you know, I'm...
But you're not paid to be a troll.
I'm not paid to be a troll, but I've got so many things to do. And with the new website as well, Dr. Emer, we're running, and my website, and doing this and talking to Tanya and all the things, I don't have time to do that. Obviously, these people have time. They're chronic masturbators, and they stay online for 24 hours a day. And he tried to drag me into this room of broken mirrors with other trolls that look like gamers. And so I banned them because they're not going to debate us. And then... I just really realized
that makes you a coward.
Yeah, and then he started saying that I was a coward and all this stuff, yep. And then I'm scared. But you know, this guy's a reflection of the pro-vaccination movement. That's what they are, you know. So
I think been very unkind to chronic masturbators.
I think Tanya.
Yeah, what's wrong with chronic masturbators? They're
not
really
as
bad.
Yeah, Tanya. you know what these. You know what these guys are like? They're basically, to put it like this, they're like, say, a school, a kid in school, and there's a bully troll who's saying that he wants to fight this kid and he's going to beat him up. And then the kid finds out about it and he fronts up to the guy, the troll, and he says, "You want to fight me? Let's go now." And then the troll says, "I'll meet you behind the toilets after school." And so the kid meets the troll behind the toilets after school, and the troll says, "Not here. We can't fight here because the teachers will see us. I'll meet you down the alleyway." So the guy meets him down the alleyway, and then he just keeps doing that. "I'll meet you in the park. I'll meet you here," but they never turn up. So
how
that's the thing.
We've been trying to get anybody to date me.
Yeah, but the thing is that the kid, what he should have done, Tanya, is just punched the guy in the nose immediately as soon as he went up to him in the schoolyard, and that's what Dr. Emer and I want to do, but we can't do that because we can't get him
My
on the show to debate
it. My child did that.
Just knock him down immediately.
My child did that, and he got in a lot of trouble, and I'm like, nah, I'm supporting him.
Exactly.
I went and picked him up and took him to McDonald's for lunch. I'm serious. Like, that's, you know, that's his treat. So, yep, good on you, buddy.
Well, Dr. Emer wants to knock them down with the truth.
Yep. This is just another 11-year-old kid that started it. But that many people have said, this is a lie, this is bullshit, this is whatever. And whenever I go on there and say, "Hi, I'm Tanya Hammond, I'm Ben's wife / carer, can I answer any of your questions?" Or, "What's bullshit?" And not one has replied to me, not one. Has replied to any of it. And I'm like, come on, tell me what's bullshit. You've got the woman herself talking to you now. Tell me what is bullshit about my situation. And not one of them, not one has replied to me. And it's been over, and I didn't even know anything about Hank or Peter Tierney or anything until about 3 weeks ago. This is how new I am at this whole weirdness part of it.
Unfortunately, the whole movement has been infiltrated by them. And what they're going to do now is pretend to be on your side. And
exactly
then say that the anti-vaccination movement is demonising you and using your case to better our movement. And I'm not really an anti-vaxxer.
Hank,
you know what I mean?
Apparently Reasonable Hank is trying to get a hold of me, I've been informed.
Well, he wants these people want to act like and to sympathise with you and pretend that they're on your side so they can say that we're trying to use you to better our cause because they know that your case is a direct case. And it's going for, you can't stop it now. It's all going to come out, and they're scared of it. That's why.
If this is being aired as it is, I would like to say that 3.5 years plus pro-vaccination help equals nothing. 3.5 years plus, in quotes, anti-vaccination help has been overwhelming. There's nothing that they can do. Where have they been for the last 3.5 years? where it has any PROVAC vein for the last 3.5 years. The only way this has ever, ever come out or have ever gotten any support, GoFundMe, anything, is because of the, in quotes, anti-vaccination people.
Well,
they have been the only ones to stand by me.
Do you think
and if Hank is listening to this, I hope he knows that.
Well, listens to everything. But do you think, Tanya, that people like Jill Hennessy or any of these health ministers, or I've seen this Koshy the Clown on Seven Sunrise program on national television stating that unvaccinated kids are a threat to society and they need to be basically separated from our children. That's what he's saying. And I've seen them on these TV shows and I've seen them talking about this. If anybody thinks that these people are going to be there by their bedside when they wake up from a vaccine-induced coma, please don't make me laugh. They ain't going to be there for you. None of these Murdoch columnists are going to be there for you. They don't care, okay?
Want to hear the weird part? About 2 weeks before, two or 3 weeks before the raid, Channel 7 GWN come to our house to do an interview on the Hammonds. They need help, poor guy, vaccine injury, And they did that. They were supposed to air it that night, but because of the bushfires, they didn't air it yet. They were supposed to air it like that Monday or whatever. Still didn't get aired. The Tuesday, we got raided, and they're the first ones who were at our door.
So that's very interesting. So the national national TV station News was about to air your husband's vaccine injury case. But because of the bushfires, they didn't air it, and then it got pushed back and pushed back, and then you got raided, and it never aired.
And then the same reporter, Sarah, I'm not going to mention her name, but the same reporter, come to our door the day of the raid to get our side of the story because Channel 7 were going to air that night. And I'm like, okay, well, here's our part of the story, and it still was never aired. So that's two stories now, one before the raid of how we need help and we're sinking hard and my husband's sick and everything else never got aired. The very same newspaper, news reporter, Channel 7, GWN, come to our house the day of the raid. They seem to have known about the raid when it was happening. And they've got a statement from the police that says the Hammond family has been raided for manufacturing and selling of crystal meth. Items have been seized and charges have been laid. It's being aired tonight. And I'm like, huh?
So they're in on it together.
Yeah, that's not a lie. We were raided for crystal meth. Items were seized and charges were laid. But it had nothing to do with meth. See what I mean, how they worded it?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, they haven't worded that they found meth. They worded that items were seized, which they were. Charges were laid, which they were, but it was for a weed plant that my husband uses for medical use. And if you go back from before he was sick in his 17 years of mining, you will see not one failed drug test. So he's only ever smoked weed since his illness. And why does he do that? Because it's natural and it's a painkiller.
So this shows you how far they are prepared to go to shut you up.
Yeah, I don't understand how Channel 7 will do a Help the Hammond Family. And then she left in tears.
Obviously, they've got to them. That's what's happened. They've found out. I mean, if that's true with Channel 7, then kudos to them. That is a great job. That's true journalism. That's what we need in this country
didn't
and what's
it.
Lacking. For actual reporters to do this. But maybe something's happened there.
Adam,
they've got to them.
Adam, they didn't air it.
But originally, if their intention was to air it, you know, then that's an honourable thing. But
I'm starting to think they come around for the first interview to try and get information or something.
You think it was all a scam, like the whole thing?
Honestly, I do, because it was a good 2 weeks before the raid, and it was supposed to air. The first one was supposed to air that night, and then the following night, and then the following Monday, and the following Monday, and ended up not airing at all. And the day after the last night was meant to be aired, we got raided. So it's just a weird. The bushfires were well and truly over.
They did air an original report, though, didn't they, on the news? Because I watched it on YouTube about your family.
Channel 9?
Yeah, was that the one they were talking about the Ben being damaged and they
That was 2.5 years ago.
So nothing's really happened with the media since then, yeah. Okay.
The last one that was aired was when we got rejected from his grass share payment. That was in June of last year. And they mixed all my words around. What I said to them, because we had like a two-hour conversation, they only aired 2 minutes. What I said to them was, I need everyone to know that we are not pro-vaccination, nor are we anti-vaccination. We don't know enough about either side to fight either side. We're just trying to make awareness to people that this stuff can happen. And all they aired out of that whole part was, we are not anti-vaccination. It's the only thing they aired out of that whole bit. And I'm like, ugh. So then I had all the antis coming at me, saying I'm dumb, stupid, how naive and stupid are you? I'm like, if you had actually heard the full interview, you'd know, but okay, listen to mainstream media and say what. It did come out of my mouth. It did. I did say we are not anti-vaccination, but I also said we're not pro. And then I explained why we're not either. Because we honestly, I can't sit there and have a debate with a pro-vac about vaccinations. I don't know enough about them. All I know is what can happen.
Well, you're pro-choice.
That's right. Well, no, I'm anti-vac, mate. My kids are not getting any. But that's my choice.
But
and
that's
it's my choice.
That's
pro-choice. My
husband was messed up. That's pro-choice.
Yeah.
That's your individual right as a human being, a taxpayer in this country, to say no. That's what we don't want to lose in this country,
taxpayer.
What we're losing. Yeah.
That's a funny word. Last financial year that
laugh,
he worked, he paid $87,000 in tax in one financial year. He did this for 17 years.
Yeah, with that type of job.
They're
now
watching us rot.
Yeah, and now
we've
the
lost
government? You've got no help, right?
Yep, no help. We've lost everything. Ben's medical supplies, like gloves, catheters, lube, sanitary products, anal products, all that kind of stuff, I've got to pay out of our pissy little pension that we get. It averages to about $700 to $800 a month. I've got to pay for that. We get about $650 a week between us. Then we've got three teenagers, a three-year-old, a mortgage, bills. Luckily for us, before this happened, we don't like debt. So we don't have personal loans or anything like that. We don't have any of that kind of drama, which is a freaking good thing at the moment. The only loan thing we have is a mortgage. But we've had power cut off. We've had gas cut off. We've had our phones cut off numerous times. We've had everything because we cannot afford to do that. And my husband was such an amazing – I was a hotel bar manager, and my husband was a mine manager. I now can't work because I've got to care for my husband and my three-year-old and my other kids, but they're older, and he obviously can't work. So they've basically put us in a spot where neither of us can actually earn an income, and they have complete control over what we do and everything because they control what we get. And the measly amount we get, he used to earn, like, okay, for an example, for the 8 days he worked before Bub was born, he got $12,000 in the hand. That was his wage for that 8 days. All right, so you add that up. 8 days that was. So that's 1 week. So you add it up over 52 weeks. How much would he have earned? And they're not giving us a cent to help us. We're losing our house. I can't feed my children. As a mum, your children come first, right? At the very start, when my young one was born, he was supposed to come first, then my kids, then my husband. Then it all shifted. I didn't see my newborn baby for 2 weeks. He was in the other hospital with my mum. I was expressing milk and had a milk runner. Each hospital, because I was beside my husband holding his hand while he was dying, right? And now feeding my kids doesn't come first. If my husband doesn't get his medical supplies, he dies. So what am I supposed to do? You know,
Who provides those medical supplies? Is that a state function?
No, I've got to go through the two companies are Paralogic Australia and Independence Australia is where I order all of his medical supplies from. And I pay from out of my own pocket. I've been to every single organisation you can think of, and none of them can help us because Ben doesn't fit into any of their slots, into any of their categories, right? No one will even help us out. I've got that many rejection letters from all of them saying, sorry, you don't qualify, sorry, you don't qualify. So one catheter is like $2, right? Plus you have the lube, the hand sanitizer, everything has to go with it. He has got to catheterize every 3 hours for the rest of his life. Then you have the anal products and everything has to go with it. But it's extremely expensive and it is literally sinking us so hard. We're sinking anyway because we're not earning the money he was. My husband had a big boy's toy that he was so in love with. It was a big Nissan Patrol that he bought brand new in cash because he saved up for it. And he put a $38,000 V8 twin turbo, I don't know, blah, 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 part engine. He had a big boy's toy car, basically, that was worth a lot of money. That was the first thing to go because we just couldn't afford it. We used to have 7 motorbikes. We used to go out every weekend with the kids, motorbike riding, camping, you name it. We did it all, always outdoorsy with the kids. They haven't only just – what's happened to Ben isn't just medical. They've taken his life away from him.
Yeah,
he doesn't. Yeah. He will never have, for example, he will never go out with his mates again and have a beer. He will never have sex again. He will never go out camping with his family again. He will never. There are so many things he has that have taken from our family and my marriage. I'm not a wife now. I'm his carer. And that's all there is to it. I lost my husband 3 years ago, and I wake up to his face every day. I don't know if you understand how painful that is, but it's absolutely horrendous. I love that man, and I still wake up to his face, but it's not him. You know, and they've taken so much away from my family. And me and my husband have been together for 10 years and still had an extremely happy marriage. We were very, very happy, very active married couple. They've stripped all of that. They've stripped everything. I now look after him, and I look after my kids. We used to be big bike riders, big campers all the time. We were never at home. We're always camping, bush, something. And we've got all the photos to back that as well. Almost all of our photos before he got sick were all at bush. You know, that's how we raised our kids. There wasn't sitting at home behind a TV playing frigging video games like they do now because we don't live there. I hate that. But they've taken so much from him. I mean, being a young married couple, we can't even have an intimate relationship. There's nothing. They've taken everything from him. And then he had to watch his wife be thrown to the floor violently by cops and have a gun held to her head and not be able to help her. Like, what more can they do to this guy? Like,
that's
seriously,
unbelievable.
What more? He was such a proud Aussie idiot male. You know, like, there's just the Aussie bloke, really big, tall, proud, strong, extremely fit because of his job, everything else. You know, he used to have a few beers with his mates on the weekend, barbecues all the time with our friends, everything. It's all gone. Our whole existence is gone. That's it. There's nothing left. I don't know how to explain it. It's not just medical what's happened to Ben. I mean, it's because of the medical, but they've stripped so much from our lives.
Would you ever think in a million years, Tanya, in your wildest dreams, that one single vaccine could do that?
If I had have thought that, mate, there is no way in hell I would have done any of my kids or myself, even if there was a slight possibility.
So
no.
Important that people understand your story and what happened here. It's a
we
know,
had
it's
no
such
idea.
A warning.
We had no idea.
You would
we,
never think
we,
that.
I've been in a mining town my whole life. I've born and bred. All you know, I don't. I'm not medically minded. I don't look into lawyers or medical stuff. We do what the professionals tell us to do that is best for our children. I did that. My husband only had that shot to protect our baby and the other babies, so they say. We only do what the professionals, I say, or whatever you want to call them, retired professionals, whatever they say is what we do. Right? If I had any idea that this was even 1 in 8 million, I wouldn't have done it.
Nobody
because
would.
Because how about that 1 in 8 million? You could be that one.
Yeah. What's Russian roulette?
God.
Eventually it's going to come around.
The immunisation people rang me. I said to them, I feel like you're making me play Russian roulette. I said exactly that with my son. I'm gambling with his life. What right do I have as a human being to gamble with another human being's life? Whether he be my son or not, he is still a human being.
You absolutely need the Advanced Vaccine Directive card for each member of your family. Please go to www.drrima.truthreports.com. Read about the Advanced Vaccine Directive. And then, Tanya, through Adam, please let me know how we can get the cards to you for you and your family.
Thank you so much.
I've got mine, yeah. And Dr. Rima, maybe we should try and get Tanya on your live radio show sometime.
Absolutely.
To tell your listeners about her story.
Without a doubt.
Yeah,
no
that
question.
Would be great.
I'm more than happy to do that.
It's a great show. It's a live show Dr. Rima does with Ralph Fusitola, Dr. Rima Truth Report show. And you can get that out worldwide as well, Tanya, to all Dr. Rima's listeners.
Yes.
We just want everybody that I've met so far, Tanya, in the anti-vaccination movement, every single person that I've met and all the mums online, they all just want to help you. That's all they want to do, and I've read it all. They're offering all sorts of help. So how can people help you, Tanya? We're going to plug out now for the podcast, but how can people out there in the world help you right now? What's the best thing to do?
our ultimate goal right now, we desperately need to relocate to Perth or a city that has the medical help, the physiotherapy, the everything that my husband needs, because there's nothing here in Kalgoorlie.
So we're like trying to rent get enough. There? Would you like to rent in Perth?
No, no. We need to own the home. I'm only saying that because my husband has worked so hard his whole life to own our home. If we end up living in a Homes West house on the dole, that'll end up destroying him.
We can ask if anyone wants to help. If anyone out there listening knows anybody that can help with a house, even, you know, to
a house that's my dream. That is my dream, to have our own home in Perth so I can get the help that my husband needs and the family support that we both desperately need. My mum's in Perth and she's my biggest supporter.
You need to get to Perth.
She's my strength. She is my strength and I don't have anyone here. She comes down every couple of months for a couple of weeks to help us out, but then she leaves. She has to leave, and it's so hard. I don't have anybody here. Ben has no medical help here. All we get is abuse here. We never leave our home. Our kids, when they give out the high school vaccines, our kids are in lockdown. We don't leave the house. None of us, not even the kids, go to school for that 2 weeks. It's so hard here, and Ben, since he stopped doing physiotherapy, since we got back to Kalgoorlie, his core muscles are going again. He trips over a lot with the dog. He's off balance a lot more now. He's going downhill so quickly, and it's like I'm watching it all happen again.
Tanya, what therapy did he stop doing?
Physiotherapy. He was doing physiotherapy 6 hours a day, 6 days a week in Shenton Park.
Why was that stopped?
Because we had to come back to Kalgoorlie. We have nowhere. We lived with my mum for almost 12 months in Perth. When all of us kids moved out, my mum and dad downsized the house and bought a beautiful little home in this nice estate. So to go from mum and dad in their gorgeous little house to mum and dad, a woman, her daughter, her brand new baby, 3 kids, 2 dogs, and a guy in a wheelchair doesn't really fit. But we did that for as long as we could until Ben got back on his feet. But we had to come back. This is our home. This is the only place we have to go. We don't. There was Aqua Physio here, but the funding for that got canned about 7-8 months ago. So there's nothing here for Ben now. Nothing. There's no medical treatment. He has to go to Perth for it all, which we have to fund. We need to be in Perth. So, for one, he has the medical help and I have the family support and my kids have the family support. And Kalgoorlie, we so desperately need to get to Perth, so desperately that it hurts, we need to get to Perth. And that's my goal. I don't want everyone's money. I'm not money hungry or anything. We just need a home in Perth that's our own. The reason I say we need our own is because Ben wants to go to our home and not have to move or relocate. Wherever we end up moving to, he wants to be there to the end, basically, and that's his own home. And because the man's lost so much already, that's why I'm saying our own home, not a rental, because he's already lost so much, and to know that he's not even in a home for his family that he has now would destroy him. He's never rented. He's worked so hard our whole life to own our home. For his family, you know, and if we can a rental, there's a large chance you're going to have to move again. You know, we can't do that.
How can people donate? Tanya, maybe out there, that's a good way to do it because we have listeners all around the world in Australia, and I'm sure people out there have enough money to help you. You know, and want to get involved, even some firms or companies, if someone wants to help out here, how can they donate to you? The GoFundMe site, or what's better, to contact you personally?
I'm not sure how whatever sites there are. I was put onto the GoFundMe site by Asher David, which has been great. That's now all been spent. That brought our aircon died the day after the GoFundMe started, typically enough, that's just how it goes. And because Ben can't regulate his body temperature, it gets extremely hot here in Kalgoorlie. So we used some of that money to buy an air conditioner. I did a massive, massive medical order for him, so he's got like bulk catheters, bulk everything. I paid all the household bills, did a big food shop, and it's all gone now. So we're now back in the position of we're going to have stuff cut off again next month and everything else. But I'm not sure what else is out there, but we have a GoFundMe account that's running at the moment. I don't know what other charity organisations to that. As I said, I'm very, very new at this. I don't know how else.
Yes. Give the exact name of the GoFundMe site. GoFundMe.com/what?
Okay, I'm just going into that. GoFundMe.
It says here.
Have you found it?
It says here, please help the Hammond family.
Okay.
Yeah, please help the Hammond. Hang on, I'm just going into it. Sorry, I've got files everywhere. It's GoFundMe.com/5NHHFHarry9CForCat VForVery TForTom and W for wrong. Yeah. GoFundMe.com/5NH9CVTW is our GoFundMe account.
Well,
do you have a personal email address or anything?
Yes.
Tanya, you want to give out your personal email address? I just mean someone out there might want to contact you personally and talk with you about this.
Will I get attacked with it?
Pardon?
Will I get any nasty emails?
You probably will. Just trash them.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm
just thinking, you know, there could be someone out there maybe might hear it, even in the US. We have listeners all around the world. I mean, someone might hear it and want to sort of get you personally. You are on Facebook anyway.
I am. I'll give you my email address. It's tan29@y7mail.com.
And on Facebook?
Facebook, I'm just Tanya Hammond.
Tanya Hammond on Facebook as well. And they can message you anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Anything else you want to finish up on?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to bring awareness of what can happen, and people like Jill, Genesee, and everybody else need to be informed. They need to meet me face to face to be informed with what's going on.
Oh, they're just, they're just puppets.
I need the skeptics when they write out this new thing about how the anti-vaxxers are corrupting my mind and everything else. I need to set them straight, say that the anti-vaxxers are the only ones that have ever helped me. That's my main thing, to try and get us out of where we are and to set people straight with what can happen. This is a very real thing, and it could happen to any one of you. Like, it destroys lives.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Dr. Rima, you want to finish on anything?
Yes. I want to say that you are, unfortunately, your family has been victimized by an industry and by a set of lies that is beyond cruel and beyond cynical, because the people who make these things, the people who push these things, know full well that they are destroying lives, know full well that they are dissembling and disseminating hideous, hideous propaganda and lies. And that's okay with them, because they have another agenda. Maybe it's the money, maybe it's the depopulation, maybe it's the control. Who knows what their particular thing is? You're living the real life consequences. It's the same thing that a family with an autistic child lives, or a family where a member develops leukemia or prostate cancer or breast cancer or brain cancer because of the vaccine contamination with the stealth virus, the SV40 or some other hideous contamination. The bottom line, besides your particular bottom line, which is, I think, something that people need to reach out and help with, and we will get you the AVD cards so you can have those for all members of your family. But beyond that, the bottom line is that vaccines are unnecessary, they are unsafe, they are inexcusable, they are absurd. Putting pus and poison in a body does not generate health. It can't generate health. And I just want to make it very clear to people that your suffering is the same suffering that's going on in lots and lots of people, except it's hidden in them. It's a time bomb. In Ben's case, unfortunately, the bomb exploded right then.
Yes, and did it ever. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. So we'll be in touch, Tanya, so that we can have you on the Dr. Rima Truth Reports.
I'm available when you are, definitely.
I'll get you her email as well, Tanya.
And we have, our foundation is doing a fifth anniversary of Fukushima live webcast, live stream on Wednesday, March 9th at 4 p.m. Eastern. That's U.S. Eastern Time. And then the following Saturday, on the 12th, we're doing a Spanish language webinar for the people in that community about vaccine damages from 9:30 in the morning until 5:30 in the evening, and about the law that we've been talking about that provides for the exemption. So we're a bit busy. Don't think that I've forgotten you. Let me get through this busy, busy time. And then we will have you on the show and bring your story to a whole different audience. How does that sound?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That sounds amazing.
And thank you. And Adam, thank you for bringing us together. This is a brave lady whose family is being hurt very badly by this cruel and cynical industry that has its tentacles everywhere.
Absolutely. Nobody wants this. Nobody. It doesn't matter what, if you're an anti-vaxxer or a pro-vaxxer, none of that matters. Nobody wants this for a family. No one.
Until this happens to you.
Until it happens to someone personally. Yeah, no one wants this for anybody, so there's no other way to go here but up. You know, everybody has to chip in and help because we're Australia.
Yes.
You know, we believe in a fair go. And, you know, all these people out there that where you live, Tanya, that are attacking you, well, that's really sad, but it shows you the, you know, what the power that the media can have through their propaganda campaigns. You know, it's like a poison dart that they shoot through the minds of the population. You know, and they read this stuff. It's not based in reality. It's unscientific. It's unprofessional, and it's all made up, scaring the population in regards to vaccines. So your case is in your face, and we just here. I just want to help, and so does Dr. Rima. We just want to help your family get to Perth and get in a place and get your husband help. That's the only, that's all I want.
Promise,
you know,
to everyone is I will not back down with this. Even when, if we are moved and we are settled and we are everything, I am not going to stop.
No, you've got a long, lot of years left. Yeah, you've got a long time to go in this life and I know you won't. And no, we're just going to keep going.
Yeah, I'm in definitely 100%.
You know? So it's, you know.
For you. And, you know, I've never met Ben, obviously. I've never talked to him. But would you please tell him that you were on the radio tonight with two people who genuinely and at the heart level wish him absolute best?
And I'll let you tell Ben that. Oh. Just a moment. Hang on a second. Just
want to
say quick hello, you're on live, you're on radio.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
How you going, buddy?
Is this Ben?
Oh, he's probably out of me.
Hello. Well, I hear people being what they should be, which is kids.
Yeah.
Ben, are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Ben, my name is Rima Ilebo, MD. I'm the medical director of a Health Freedom Foundation fighting for people to have the right to say no to what they don't want and yes to what they do want about their bodies. And Tanya's been sharing your story with Adam and me and Adam's listeners. And I wanted to say that you are being harmed by an industry of death and cruelty. And I am so sorry, but I admire your bravery and Tanya's bravery for going forward to tell people what's going on fearlessly. So congratulations on that. Although I'm sure you would have preferred not to be in the position to have this story to tell.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a hard position, and a hard way to tell the story. Really, it shouldn't be that swept under the rug, so to speak, I'd say.
It's in America.
Well, you and your children have the right to a vaccine exemption for any reason or no reason. It's in the Constitution of Australia. It's protected by national law, and we will be sending your family a set of cards, one for each person, that will provide you with a legal vaccine exemption so that no one in your family needs to have this again.
Yeah, I think we're in a position where we weren't going to go ahead with it anyhow, but I'm still waiting to see a vaccination compensation for people like us before we'll even contemplate anything like that anyhow, if I do in the future, which I probably won't anyhow, but that's just another...
We're not vaccinating.
...can of fish we're dealing with when we get to that part of it, I suppose.
No, we're not vaccinating.
Absolutely.
Yes, I'm happy you're not vaccinating.
Please
yes.
do not. Please
do not.
Do not vaccinate. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of it now, to be honest.
No, when you're a big fan.
No, I would imagine not then.
To be honest, we just want to run and hide somewhere where we're not exposed to anything that's going to harm us, full stop. But we're not up to that yet.
I want to mention something that people might need to know, and maybe you do. We all encounter infectious agents, and people take vaccines for the mistaken belief that somehow this will keep them from getting this disease or that disease. There is a product called nanosilver, 10 parts per million. This is not colloidal silver. Nanosilver, 10 parts per million. It supports the immune function, and when you use it, no matter what you're exposed to, you don't have to worry about the disease. So instead of putting pus and poison in your body, you put a nutrient that supports your immune system so well that you do not get sick. That's also available at our website, nsfmarketplace.com, nsfmarketplace.com. That's what we need. We need protection rather than assault.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's part of the equation, I guess. It's kind of like the stigma associated with someone not being vaccinated, as if to say they've got something like AIDS. I mean, now we look at that.
It's very hard to hear you, Ben.
It's fairly horrific thing back in the day, AIDS was, and now we look at it as we can't vaccinate.
You're fading out on us.
We can take preventative maintenance to avoid.
Instead of poisoning the body, we need to protect it.
Yeah, you can protect yourself from that sort of thing, and it's a domino effect with everything else too, I guess. We've just got to deal with that when we get to that part of the equation, I suppose. It's something you have to face when you get around to it. I mean, it's going to be a big hurdle to try and contemplate everything at once, but to knock everything out in one ballpark would be a nice thing, but like I said, if something's there to associate or assist your immune system or to help naturally above all or anything else, that's going to help everyone. In America, you guys are awesome because you've got the medicinal marijuana over there now, and it's just crazy that people can't see that there's natural remedies and solutions to a lot of everyday society things that we encounter. And
Tanya and Adam and I have been talking about the fact that CBD, which is produced by your body and by the hemp plant, CBD cannot be illegal because your body makes it. THC is not made by your body, so it can be illegal, but CBD cannot. And I've talked about the fact that I believe that the likelihood is high that the CBD would help your pain and the inflammation and perhaps help your neurological symptoms.
It's a key in everything, I guess. And there's marijuana is not the only medicine that's based on a plant material.
Well, I don't see how CBD can be illegal. That's something that you need to check into. Adam, maybe you can get some clarification on that.
Yeah,
I think all the laws are changing here in Australia for medicinal use anyhow. And it's a good thing too as far as I'm concerned because it opens up other doors to
Absolutely.
I need to go.
Thank you so much, Dr. Rima, for plugging in today.
Thank you so much.
Always good to have you.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you for having me. And Tanya and Ben, thank you for sharing time with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Tanya. Thank you, Ben. Okay, that's it for this week. Thanks so much for the Hammond family for coming on and Tanya to share that story. Wow. Please, anybody out there who listens to this, anyone who knows anyone that can help them, in any way, let us know and let her know. Why don't we plug out today and play Health Minister Jill Hennessy's comments she made on national television. It's up on YouTube, fair use. I'll play that now. This is the Health Minister of Victoria. In Australia, this is a health minister saying these things. Astonishing. Really is. It shows that we're in a lot of trouble here. So I'll play that now. Thanks for listening.
Blasted anti-vaccination campaigners, accusing them of putting children's lives at risk. Victoria's vaccination rates are some of the lowest in the country, with less than a quarter of postcodes hitting targets set by health authorities. Leith Mulligan with more.
An injection of funds for Frankston's first-class health services, but when it comes to vaccinations for children, the government admits things aren't as healthy as they should be and is blaming the anti-vaccination movement for that.
There are no risks in vaccinating your children.
There are no risks in vaccinating your children, you heard it.
Science is really clear. Talk to a GP. Don't get your advice from a quack on the internet.
That stings okay, Melbourne mum of six, Tasha David. Four of her kids have had reactions after being vaccinated.
It's about choice. You know, all parents deserve the right to choose what's best for their child because, you know, no one knows a child better than their parents.
It's fresh in the minds of Melbourne mums and dads after a measles outbreak in Brunswick last week. Overall, new data reveals 7 out of every 8 Victorian postcodes has not reached vaccination targets.
Terrorists.
Central Melbourne is one of the areas of concern, with around 70-80% of 1-5-year-olds fully vaccinated. In 2014, chief health officers set a target of 95%.
Perhaps we need to remember that these illnesses can cause serious side effects, complications, and in some cases even death.
It's hoped the no jab, no pay policy will have the desired needling effect on parents. The new federal law that came into effect January 1
you mean Murdoch's campaign?
Requires children are immunised before being able to access childcare benefits.
Oh, so the drug companies can make more money.
One size fits all policy? Is that right? Is that fair? I say no.
A mobile app, Vaxon Time, has been created for busy or forgetful mothers and fathers. The government says
poison
that
your kids on time.
But clearly doesn't dig digital doctors.
It is important that people get their information from a GP, not from a hippie on the internet.
Leith Mulligan, 10 Eyewitness News.
A hippie on the internet, Jill. You heard it, folks, from Jill Hennessy. No dangers in vaccinating your children. The science is settled, according to Jill. And don't get your health advice from hippies on the internet. This is from Jill Hennessy, Health Minister in Victoria. We are in big trouble. Big trouble. We need a change. Desperately in this country. It's just going to get worse. This is a joke.